On the night of August 11, 2024, a man launched his kayak onto one of the deepest lakes in Wisconsin. He told his wife he might stay out late, maybe fish for a while, wanted to catch the meteor shower from the water. But by the next morning, his kayak was found drifting alone in the middle of the lake. Investigators quickly feared the worst. But the deeper they looked, the stranger the case became. Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets... Mystery meets the Macabre with your favorite Deadly Mary duo. I'm Olive.
And I'm Tom.
Your guides through the strange, the sinister, and the hiccups. Spooky...
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my goodness. Off to a rough start. Off to a rough start. Terrible.
Hold the breath.
Yeah, let me hold my breath because you're going to have to scare me. Where do you think we're going today, Bags?
North, south, east, west.
On the map, we're going north.
North. Are we in the U.S.?
Yes.
Okay. Central, east, or west?
Central.
Central. I'm going to say Wisconsin.
Yes!
Get out of here! We should've... I think this is the first time I've ever done it actually on the first try.
Yeah, on the first try. Dang, too bad you didn't wager a Taco Bell run.
Nah, I'm going to get Taco Bell anyways. I'll still make you a nice BLT though.
Thank you, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. We are going to Wisconsin.
Taco Bell. Oh, sorry.
No. We're going to Big Green Lake in southern Wisconsin. It's the Big Green Lake.
I love the names people come up with.
The Big Green Lake.
Places.
I know. It could have been, yeah. Don't you ever think sometimes...
You know the Big Green Lake. You know the one filled with algae. Yeah, that one.
Big Green Lake. Got the bush, the rush. You know what's so funny when you think about some street names? Why? Why you call it that? What is that street name in Indiana? It's like 2 Cent Road.
Oh,
2 Cent? Because 1 cent wasn't enough.
To be fair, there's also a road in Indiana called Stoner Drive.
Oh, God.
And I do know stories that their signs used to get stolen constantly to where they end up having to put little like tracking chips inside their signs.
Oh, damn. Yeah, because so everybody wants it for their bedroom now. They're all like, Smith, 420.
420 blazing.
420 blazing. Well, we're going to the night of August 11th of 2024.
On the Big Green Lake.
This lake is ginorm. Okay, ginorm. It looks like glass. Okay, all it right. Stretches for more than 7 miles long, plunging nearly 200 feet deep.
7 miles long?
Yeah.
That's it? Yeah, you said big, and I was thinking...
Huge.
Huge.
Huge. Yes, so the Green Lake. I'll just call it Green Lake of Wisconsin.
Sorry,
yes. Stretching for more than 7 miles. What did we read? 11 miles long?
And it was, yeah, something like that.
11 miles long with... Width-wise, though.
Something like that, yeah.
It's like the width, okay? And is nearly 200 and something feet deep.
Pretty cool.
Okay?
Pretty big lake.
Pretty cool. And the lake is the deepest natural inland lake in the entire state, from what I was reading.
Really?
Yeah, from what I was reading.
Which, I mean, honestly, for the size of the lake, that's not a huge, huge lake.
Not a huge lake. It's a big green lake. It's a big lake.
The fact that it can reach 200 feet?
Right. It's deep.
That's deep for
a
small little lake.
Yeah, that's pretty deep. One of the things that I saw, too, that was kind of creeping me out was the type of fish in there.
There's what kind of they got? Crappie? Some bass?
Okay.
Some bluegill?
No, what was it? Hold on. It was kind of creepy. It's an ancient fish.
A walleye?
Is the lake sturgeon, it says. The dinosaur.
The hell is that?
The dinosaur fish found in Green Lake, Wisconsin, is the lake sturgeon. An ancient species that has existed for over 100 million years. These fish are known for their prehistoric appearance, featuring cartilage skeletons, shark-like tails, and rows of bony plates called scutes.
To the no.
Yeah, the lake sturgeon.
I don't like how this...
How it looks.
All my fishers out there, it looks like a crossbreed between a black-tip shark and a catfish. Mixed with a pike.
It's like
it's really freaking weird looking, and
it just it looks like a dinosaur. Gives you the heebie-jeebies. Yeah, it just looks kind of creepy. It looks kind of creepy in there. A little creepy. A little creepy. So the water, as you can, I know, it gives me chills. The water, as you can imagine, cold and dark for very, very low parts of the
lake.
And locals know that when something is going to disappear there, it doesn't always come back because of how deep it is. Okay, I mean, so lose your phone, get out of here, get a new phone.
You lose your sunglasses, psych.
New sunglasses.
I have lake sunglasses.
Why, do they cook or something?
No, they're called bombers.
Oh, so they float?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's smart. I love it when inventions get better. Deeper as they evolve, they get better. So just after 10 p.m. on August 11th of 2024, this didn't happen too long ago, just after 10 p.m., 44-year-old carpenter named Ryan Borgwart pulled into a public boat landing along the lake. It's 10 p.m. Ryan is a husband and a father of three from the nearby Wilson town where he's from. And by all appearances, this was a quiet late summer night like many others. He had brought along his kayak, a fishing rod, and a tackle box because he was planning to spend some time on the water at night and maybe even watch the meteor shower that was going to attend.
I got to say, night fishing is honestly
is it calming?
Very calming.
It sounds scary to me just because it's nighttime.
Fish are oddly more, I would say, a little bit more active
at nighttime.
That and during rainstorms.
Like hamsters? Oh.
If you ask my dad, one of the best fishing tournaments I ever had, I was the only fisher that stayed out during the rainstorm.
Oh, you give me Forrest Gump vibes. I love it. And I mean that in the most positive way ever. But you know how he was in the boat?
Yeah.
And they were not getting any type of fish?
Oh, yes. And then he stayed out with the storm.
They stayed out in the storm and he ended up bringing on
bank.
They
came back and everyone was just...
Yeah, everyone's
like
boat was
on the ground,
destroyed except to his because they were in the storm and the storm was fine. So I thought it was kind of creepy. And I was also like, why are you going to fish at night? But interesting to hear that it's very common. I mean, we see people when we go by
relaxing,
our lake and we see people at nighttime when we're driving.
Because you can see the lights all the way out there.
Yeah, you can. So I'm sure there is calming. To me, I just immediately think it's super spooky because why do I want to be on the water? What if nobody knows if... Oh, God, I don't even like the water.
No, part of boating planning 101. Anytime you're going to go out, you always at least let one person know time you're going to leave, where roughly you're going to go, and what time you're supposed to be back.
Which he did tell his wife, which we'll talk about a little bit more about it. But he's planning to spend some time in the water, and there was supposed to be a meteor shower that night. So a short time after, he texts his wife saying, Emily, her name is Emily, saying that he's going to slip out into the lake. His phone's location app showed that he was paddling slowly north across the dark water because, you know, he's got
his
phone on him.
This man paddling?
He's paddling. He's in his kayak.
Oh, damn. I guess, I don't know.
Kayak.
I guess assumed that
he was like in a boat
had,
or something?
No, I guess I assumed that kayak would have had one of those little, I think they're called trolling motors. I can't think what they're called.
Oh.
You know, the little tiny ones? Yeah.
No, he's raw dogging this thing. Damn. He's going out there with his kayak, a fishing rod, and a tackle box. I mean... Whew. To each his own.
I don't know if I could do that at night.
I would not be able to do any of this by the water. I can't even be that. No, thank you. That's like my worst nightmare. I can't. But he did have a location thing on his phone. So, and he let his wife know. Now, just before midnight, the signal stopped moving. The next morning, fishermen spotted something drifting out on the lake, an overturned kayak.
Oh, no.
Nearby, scattered across the surface, were pieces of Ryan's gear. His fishing pole, they found his tackle box, his wallet, but they could not find Ryan anywhere. He was nowhere to be found. And in a lake that deep as Green Lake, that usually was going to mean probably
not
one thing.
Not a good sign.
Yes. The discovery sent an immediate wave of concern through the small surrounding communities around Big Green Lake. And Green Lake sits in Green Lake County, Wisconsin. So it's about an hour and a half northwest of Milwaukee.
Okay.
It's a very popular spot for boating and fishing in the summer months. But beneath its calm surface lies something that most people or visitors don't really realize. Because I feel like a lot of people, when they go vacation on a lake, they don't realize how deep a lake can be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people may see it as like, oh, it's not the ocean, but it's a lake. I mean... Before I even was not a fan of the water, I never really thought about that the lake has its own dangers. that you don't know of. I always assumed and just thought, oh yeah, the ocean, obviously, because I get, you know, you see Castaway and you're like, oh, I'm going to be taken away. But then when you think of the lake, some people may not see it as that big of a caution, with caution. So at its deepest point, the lake drops nearly 200 feet. That's pretty deep. The water is going to stay cold year round, and the sheer depth creates that powerful temperature changes of layers. So it could trap objects far below the surface. Now, search experts were saying that when someone were to drown in Green Lake, their body may never resurface at all. So there's a thing, too, that I was reading is they call it the pop. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Okay, so when you pass away, there are gases that build up in your body.
Oh.
And so...
Is it the fart?
No.
Oh.
It's just gases that build up in your body. No,
supposedly when you die, you...
Two?
Will fart. Yes.
Right there's, before you two?
There's a funny movie. It's so stupid with Daniel Radcliffe in it.
Uh-huh.
And...
Really? Yes. Harry Potter?
Yes.
Okay.
And this guy uses him as a lifeboat to get across the ocean.
Harry Potter? Hold on.
He dies. Daniel Radcliffe dies. He starts farting, and then this guy uses him as a propulsion to get and rides him like across. So you just see dead Daniel Radcliffe just like farting a storm up.
Anyways,
it's so stupid, but
no,
yes,
clearly,
that's what I thought
clearly. Okay, so naturally, when you do pass away, your body builds up gases after. It could take a couple of days, could take some weeks, but your body has these natural gases that it builds up.
Yeah.
So if you were to drown in a body of water, I just keep thinking about Daniel Radcliffe now. If you were to drown in a body of water, most of the time, you would sink because your lungs would be full of water, but then you'd bounce back up, which they call it the pop.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Why they call it that the makes pop. Sense. Yeah, but on certain, it depends, because obviously, if let's say you drown somewhere very deep and you're unfortunately going to keep going down, there you may reach certain parts because of the pressure of the water. Sometimes you may not pop. So it depends on where you are or where
interesting.
You're found. And immediately they're seeing a overturned kayak. Emily can't even get a hold of,
can't get
a hold of Ryan either. The fishing gear, his the location stops there seemingly. It's giving, clearly something happened to Ryan and most likely he drowned. So when fishermen spotted the kayak drifting in the lake that morning, they called authorities immediately. And not far away, the investigators were able to recover his fishing rod and his tackle box, too. Mm-hmm. And inside the tackle box was his wallet and his ID. So that's exactly how they knew, well, this
who
is definitely
was,
Ryan Bogart, not anybody else. His life jacket was also still inside the kayak.
That's interesting.
Interesting, right? Yeah, and his cell phone had been found in the water. I'm not sure if they found it per se or they could locate it. I'm not entirely sure about that. I just know that it was in the water. Mm-hmm. But to the investigators, the scene is obviously is pointing to he must have went
drowning.
Out at night and something must have happened. It could have been overturned and he was probably trying to fight to grab his kayak and he could have just... been taken in. We also have to remember too, in lakes aren't there like fungus, not fungus, but like not seaweed type of algae, and I don't know, because
you know how
always hear the lakes where they have the certain alerts of like, oh, algae blooming or something, you have to be careful, it's dangerous, or things can yank you or something.
I wouldn't say in something like this.
Right.
This lake reminds me of what I grew up going to for Boy Scout camp in Indiana.
Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, we dived in ours and the bottom was clay.
Oof, ew.
Well, we had to.
The thought process of me touching the surface, or not even the surface, the bottom of a body of water, it freaks me the hell out. It gives me the heebie-jeebies. So you telling me, the bottom is clay. I'm like, this is a good thing.
So hear me
out. I would never be able to touch it.
We had to do it
because
we were
all
technically lifeguards.
No, that makes sense. 100%. I'm just telling you, I can never. Why do you think I have to wear water shoes when we go anywhere with water?
But to that point, as knowing my lifeguard training that we had to do, it's a lake. And compared to an ocean, it's so much more difficult to be able to see through.
Yeah, true.
So that's the other thing. One, you add night, but then you also add how
murky the water is
yeah. already.
Well, and then it's also the lake is 200 some deep. Yeah,
and
right.
on top of it, you're also in a kayak. Right. And the kayak more than likely doesn't have any lights on it.
Right.
So it's going to be very yeah. difficult at night to be able to navigate your way through
right,
dark
right.
water like
so,
that.
So exactly, yeah. And he most likely, they were probably thinking at this point that he maybe leaned too far over in his kayak while he was fishing yeah. and he had fallen into the water sometime after midnight. And in a lake this deep, you know, maybe even a strong swimmer may not even stand a chance. Yeah. You don't know, right? Anything could happen. So within hours, the Green Lake County Sheriff's Office launched a search operation across the lake. They had divers, they had boats scanning the lake floor. From what I was seeing, they worked with a company, this person who had like the top tier sonar boat detection system. And they were, they pretty much even said, hey, if he drowned here, we're going to find him because yeah. of the equipment that they had. And the, so they had so many, but there was people coming out from the communities, waiting on the shorelines to see if there's anything that popped up. Like everybody came together to really help find out where Ryan was and just to bring the family closure too, because
yeah,
but they also knew that they may not find him. We're not entirely sure. Again, it's just word spread quickly through the community that he was missing on the lake overnight. And what started as a quiet summer night was now turning into this desperate search of finding out where Ryan was. Within hours of the kayak being discovered, the quiet shoreline around Big Green Lake turned into the center of a massive search effort. So we've got deputies from the Green Lake County Sheriff's Office. They also quickly joined with officers from nearby departments and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. So they were going, they were like, we need to call everyone and anyone right now. Boats began moving slowly across the surface of the lake while divers were entering the water. And the search of the lake is not going to be a simple task, as you can imagine, with how yeah. deep it is. And especially if you've got divers, like if you're going down, the further down you go, the colder it gets, the more mm-hmm. pressure rises. You're putting a lot of men at risk. So there's a lot of factors to go in there. And imagine the dinosaur fish.
Well, what I was seeing, the dinosaur fish is just a sucker fish, basically.
No, no, he's still be chill. I just but don't want to see it. I
he does
touch
look
it.
Weird yeah. as hell.
I also praise divers who do this for a living too. I can't even imagine. First off, the thought of having to go in the water, right? And then the thought of like, you don't even know what you're going to see until you see it. That must be so traumatizing to some divers. So I really like so much respect for those people that go in and help find mm-hmm. like people who are drowning or cars. Oh my God. That's just terrible.
I think I know the guy you're thinking of right now. Cause he found the one car that the mom had been searching for like years.
Oh, I did see that one too. Yes. Yeah, I wasn't thinking about him right now, yeah. but I know who you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, and he was talking about how what he saw, and I was like, oh my God, I can't even. You don't really think about those jobs, honestly, and unless you need to, you somehow yeah. find yourself in that predicament, which is sad. But either way, I just find that like just so much respect to those people. But days were passing. We've got, they were doing the side scan, sonar. They were moving slowly through the water. Days, weeks, nothing. Since it's been days and weeks, for many of them, the investigators, they are probably confirming that what they feared is probably what happened. He mm-hmm. most likely, the lake most likely took him.
Yeah.
And he drowned. They searched for 58 days.
Damn.
58 days, yes. But while the search continued out of the water, out on the water, investigators, of course, during this 58-day window, investigators began working to piece together Ryan's final known moments, because even though he most likely drowned, they still have to do all the rest of the administration work. They got
to
investigate. They got
to
see, hey, what's going on? What happened that night? You know, whatever. They got to do their jobs. One of the first people detectives spoke with was Emily, Ryan's wife.
Mm-hmm.
She told the investigators that that night before Ryan disappeared, everything was pretty normal. And at some point in that evening, Ryan had left the house and said he was going to head to Green Lake. Mm-hmm. And we've got the text messages because she shared the text messages. At 10:12 p.m. that night, Emily had written, "Night, love you." About 15 minutes later, she texted Ryan again, telling him that their older son, who's 17, was going to spend the night at a friend's house. 5 minutes later, Ryan texts back and he says, "I may have snuck out on the lake." Emily said, "That would have been nice to know. I was beginning to wonder why you weren't home." Immediately, I'm like, my guy, how the fuck are you going to stop at the lake? interesting. Why don't you just stop at the lake and not let your wife know? But anyways, Ryan apologizes and then he ends up adding, temperature is perfect. Emily says, nothing new. I should be used to it by now. So many nights I have no idea where you are when it's late. Ryan says, the meteor shower is awesome in the dark. I'm like, yo, when I was reading this, it was giving the classic guy that's like, I just don't get why she left me, man.
Yeah.
And she would never tell me anything. Mind you, she's like, wow, every night, it's not like I even know where the hell
you are.
And he's like, temperature's perfect, dude. Nothing new. Meteor shower is going to be awesome tonight in the dark. Emily asks Ryan to turn on his location sharing in the Life 360 app, which he does.
Mm-hmm.
Emily texts again. Again, no communication. Would have been nice to know. He says, I'll work on this communication thing. You don't say, buddy. Emily replies, it sucks going to bed not having any idea where you are. Just saying. Ryan ends up saying he'd forgotten his paddle and was instead going to use a fishing net. So you start thinking, well, no wonder you drowned. Interesting. Yeah. Emily ends up saying, no paddle is dumb. Ryan says, I love you. Good night. Emily says, night. Love you too. Be safe. Ryan says, I'll start heading back to shore soon. Emily responds, K. Simple K.
Damn.
If she not mad?
I mean.
He's like, temperature's perfect. She's like,
the temperature's perfect.
She's like, I want a divorce. He's like, yeah, I mean, it's meteor's going to be great in the dark.
It's like, missing all the signs.
After her last text at 10:49 p.m., Emily said that she ended up falling asleep and she woke up around 5 a.m., but Ryan still wasn't home. And unfortunately, we know mm-hmm. that in the morning, somebody found the kayak and they pretty much figured out that it was Ryan in the water. Now, those texts would turn out to be the last known messages anyone had received from Ryan. And investigators also started looking into the location data from Ryan's phone using the Life 360 tracking app, which the family ended up using to share all their locations. Now, according to the app, Ryan's phone showed him paddling north across Green Lake late that night. The signal continued moving slowly across the lake for more than an hour. And just before midnight, the location stopped updating. So that's at that point, they started thinking, okay, well, that's probably when the phone fell in the water. So the investigators, the timeline is looking, unfortunately, pretty straightforward. He literally did go in the water, and the tragedy is that he drowned. Ryan had gone out on the lake at night, possibly fishing or watching the meteor shower, and at some point, after his last message, something must have gone wrong, which I'm also like, maybe the fishnet. I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
I guess I guess you can make it happen, but why would you go out there at nighttime? But
it's a little difficult to overturn a kayak. At the same time, I don't know. I feel like you don't get in a kayak
if you don't have the
forget
proper,
your paddle.
Yeah. Or be like, fuck it, I'm going to still go.
I don't know. That's just very tough to forget.
It's just, yeah. Well, not even that he forgot to still go do it. But then again, maybe he's just like, dude, it's going to be such a perfect night. Like, fuck, I forgot the paddle. Screw it. I'm just going to use the fishing net or something. I mean,
I don't know.
I still feel like it's
good. It's just weird.
Tom's like, I don't know. Investigators also knew that in some drowning cases, a body could maybe resurface. So they thought, well, if Ryan had drowned, his lungs probably filled up with water, which would sink him to the bottom of the lake. But if enough gases build up in his body, he would maybe eventually actually float up to the surface. And that's what I was mentioning earlier is known as the pop. So at this point, they're just monitoring the lake, right? They're like, well, if he pops up, he pops up. If he doesn't, then we know the answer. They spoke again with Emily, reviewing the timeline of the night that he disappeared and gathering more information about his personal documents. And during that conversation, one of the investigators asked Emily about Ryan's passport. They're like, do you have that? Where is it? Emily's like, yeah, I have it. She goes, gets it, shows it to them. They're like, cool. But as the detectives continued reviewing records, they discovered something a little bit unusual. Earlier that year, Ryan had actually reported his passport lost and requested a replacement.
Huh.
Interesting, right?
Uh-huh. I'm putting some pieces together. And I won't lie, I was starting to put the pieces together a hot minute ago, but I was like, no. I'd be crazy to think this, but now I'm starting to think I might not be so crazy.
Well, who knows?
I'll sit tight.
You'll sit there, you'll hang in tight. Okay. Uh-huh. And they started realizing that when they told Emily, and Emily's like, no, like, this is his passport. I didn't know that he requested a new passport. So the one that Emily had at home most likely is one that's no longer the active one from what it's looking like, right? Like, what's going on here? So investigators decided to check whether the replacement passport had been used anywhere after the night that Ryan disappeared. And when they searched international border records, they actually found something that made the entire case turn.
Huh.
According to the U.S. and Canadian border data, Ryan Borgard's passport had been scanned at the Detroit-Windsor border crossing. The date of the crossing was August 13th, 2024. He went missing August 11th, remember? Two days later is when his passport was flagged. Well, it was when he used his passport. And 2 days after the night that he was believed to have been drowned in the Green Lake. Now, at first, investigators wondered if this could be a mistake because it just doesn't make any sense. But the more they looked into it, the more information that they found. If the border record was accurate, then one thing was suddenly very possible: that Ryan maybe didn't drown at all. Maybe he left the country. And one thing to note, too, that I was reading about this was that they were thinking about reporting him missing early on, but they all considered that everything was pointing to him being to drowning. So nobody had flagged it. But if they had reported him missing,
his passport would have been flagged
and they would have caught him a lot earlier, or they would have at least figured out what the hell was going on.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean caught him?
Well, if you said that he got on the 13th, mm-hmm. they would have at least had more things to find out.
Let's keep going.
Once the investigators realized that Ryan was at the border of Canada after his disappearance, the entire investigation shifted. The question was no longer what happened to Ryan, but the question now is that where and how did he manage to disappear in the first place? They also, at this point, they were like, something weird is going on. Is he doing this against his will? Is he being forced to do this? This is interesting. Was there something?
I don't think so. Based on this guy's text, because initially, hear me out. I wasn't thinking this at all. Initially, full transparency.
Go for it.
Up until we find the text and get the text.
Okay.
From his wife. I'm thinking, damn, this sucks.
Tragic accident, unfortunate.
Super tragic
events.
Accident.
Yeah.
I love fishing. Not nearly as much as my dad does, but I know my dad and I both love astronomy. If we knew there was a meteor shower and both of us were hanging out, 100% I could see us sitting there and saying, you know what? Screw it. Let's go out on the lake. It'll be dark. We can fish, watch the meteor shower. It'll be so quiet and still, and we can just hang out and relax.
It's like you time. Yeah.
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 Now I'm thinking, drowned. Sucks. That stinks.
Yeah.
Then we get the text. Now my mind's piecing. She doesn't know where he is basically any night. This, to me, doesn't sound like a healthy marriage.
He's not good at communicating.
Not good at communicating.
Because remember, he's like, I'll work on that communication
randomly
thing.
Decides, out of the blue, go onto the lake. And the way he was
It's not unnormal for him to go to the lake, it seems, from what I could gather.
Understandable.
Uh-huh, yeah. But he stops at the lake.
But it just sounds like he doesn't like being at home.
Okay.
Based on her messages.
Right.
And what her responses were.
What you're gathering, Tom's take.
So my gathering as a...
Tom's take.
Tom's take couch detective.
Armchair detective.
That he saw this as a perfect night. All stars aligned. See what I did there? All stars align to allow him to have a reason to be on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Lines up with all of his typical
habits.
There is
a meteor shower that night.
There's a meteor shower. And now I turn on my location because I know my wife's going to ask me for that. Turn on my location. That way she sees, oh, I'm on the lake. There's proof of all this. Now I just have to plan it. Set this, and this up. That way it turns, does this, phone falls, boom, and I'm out.
Okay, so question to you, right? Just because you're giving your theory right now, is he left the lake. How did he leave the lake?
Uber.
Okay, when he was in the lake on the kayak, what do you think he did?
So, there's a few thoughts I've had, right? One.
What are the two thoughts? Go.
One is that he actually had a secondary fishing pole that was connected to his phone, which was sitting on the kayak. He pushed the kayak out.
So he was never on the kayak.
Correct.
Oh.
He pushed the kayak out, had the phone and some type of, however he might have jerry-rigged it, left the paddle, and had it set up to where all he had to do is pull on his fishing pole, was able to disconnect the phone or at least flip the phone off of the kayak. Right,
because they found his kayak overturned.
And get the kayak overturned, and in return, there's no evidence left.
Right.
Because he just reels in his other fishing pole. He's now turned over all this to make it look like this happened in the middle of the lake. How else would this have happened?
Okay. All right. That's
that's my theory.
That's Tom's take on that. Okay.
Tom's take. Dun, 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 dun. Yes, I just played the Thomas the Tank Engine thing.
I'm going to have to do my own. I'm going to have to create my own version of that. So anytime it's Tom's take, it's
no, it that's pops literally up. That's literally from Thomas the Tank Engine. No, Thomas the Tank,
I know, but I'm going to have to create one for you so we don't get copyrighted every time. So I don't want to get a cease and desist letter. I'll be You'll like, just Thomas
take,
the Tank.
Take that audio of me doing it every
dun,
time.
Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun.
I might actually, yeah. Interesting theory. Okay, hold it there.
Thank you. Holding.
Holding. Pinned. Pin. Pin it. When investigators look through Ryan's laptop and external hard drives, they find a document that seems to outline a very detailed plan for disappearing.
My guy, rule 101, if you're going to disappear, you don't document it anywhere. You plan that shit on your own.
The document had a list of burner phone numbers, encrypted email accounts, and instructions that related to transferring money and cryptocurrency. Now, there were also notes that I was seeing about banking questions and like moving funds internationally and stuff. I don't know exactly what the type of banking questions were, but most likely it was probably like, beep boop, how do I make fake bank account?
Is this guy Russian now?
No, he's not. He's not. But I'm sorry. If you're creating a freaking document about your disappearance, I'm going to do it however I want to do it.
Yeah,
okay?
I'm sorry. You're a little off the deep end. There's plenty of ways to...
Pun intended. Jinx, you owe me a foot rub.
Okay.
That's how it works in our marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't... I'm just saying, right now, all these signs... to me are, which to be fair, in my opinion.
Okay. Because we're not done yet.
I know. Okay. I know a lot of these criminals, in my opinion, and I'm not calling him a criminal, but I am.
Mama,
a lot of these
I'm in love
instances,
with a criminal.
Usually people don't fully think through, hey, if I do this, this is going to lead to the police getting involved. Right. If the police can't solve it, that means it's going to lead to the local FBI agency getting involved. FBI agency has access to where they can actually pull my files, things locally from my computer. If they find my computer, there's a number of different things. Even if they find your phone and it's absolutely destroyed, they can still recover a lot.
Well, you know what?
So...
good points. Good points.
That's just where I'm going in the sense of, to me, if you're trying to disappear for whatever reason,
right?
There's a little bit of a, hey, maybe you should think of ways to go completely inspicuous.
Yeah. Or let me piggyback off of that. Or be a man and just divorce your wife.
Well, that too. And that too, you, that too, that too.
Why is it that we've always got to... here I am sounding like...
I was just saying disappearing in the sense...
No, 100%, 100%. I totally get what you're saying because it's like if you're really trying to disappear, why would you write a documented... You know, it's like disappearing dummies 101.
I'm sorry.
You don't really do that.
Look at D.B. Cooper. D.B. Cooper did it in one of the most obvious ways possible. True. And to this day, we don't know where the hell this man went.
We still don't even know. Exactly. But that's right. But I'm just like piggybacking off of that because I'm like, or why don't you just be a man?
Just be a man, but
divorce your wife
again,
and feel shame that way.
Take all that out of this.
Yeah, no.
I'm staying in general. Most of these people that try to commit fraud,
well, a lot of the
whatever,
time, they don't think that it's going to happen to them.
They don't.
Yeah. You know what I know too is a lot of the times they think that oh, no one's going to look for me. Yeah. There, it's probably going to be a couple days of nothing.
Again,
58 days,
I'm,
my guy.
I'm sorry. I feel a lot of these people don't think through what all's going to go into it. Prime example, where I grew up, unfortunately, one of my mom's friends from teaching lost her life because somebody next door literally tried to cause an insurance claim.
Damn, that's terrible.
By releasing gas, and they blew up, no joke, damn near flattened the whole neighborhood.
Jesus. Yeah, a lot of people don't. Yeah. I'm telling you, a lot of people are selfish.
And it got all tracked back to them because, again,
everything, selfish.
You have fire investigation, you have police investigation, FBI. There's so much stuff that we can look at.
Their tiny little brains are like, oh, it's going to be A, B, C, and it'll be easy.
Why would you ever look up anything on if you're trying to disappear on your own local devices?
I agree with you because obviously to the detectives, it's looking like an exit strategy.
Yeah.
It's an exit strategy. And as the investigators continued looking at Ryan's online activity, they actually uncover another very important detail. Months before he vanished, Ryan had actually begun communicating online with a woman. She was living in the country of Georgia, which is next to Russia.
I forget about this because we have a state named Georgia.
Georgia, so, yes.
It's a little confusing.
It's like, and she was from Georgia, it's by the Black Sea, from what I was seeing. But she was having a romantic relationship, an affair with this woman over in
this
Georgia,
week,
by
90
Russia.
Day fiance.
No, literally. Imagine. I'd be like, yo, get the hell out of here. But their messages, from what I was seeing, was growing very romantic, and they had talked about the possibility of starting a new life together overseas. Interesting.
My guy.
Interesting. Again, just, oh my God. You know what I don't understand is, and I'm just going to say men, because this tends to be the common factor with these type of stories or cases, that they just want to leave. They want to leave their family because they want to start a whole new life. Okay, great. You want to start a new life? That's fine. Go start a whole new life. But instead of doing it, like, get a divorce. And they're like, oh no, I can't do that. It's going to be too shameful. That's going to be too embarrassing. I'm just going to kill my family, or I'm going to disappear on them. What? Why is that the two options
where you're going
here?
The DuPont Dillingham family.
Yes, that's the other one. He was like, you know what? I just don't want to be here anymore. We have so much debt. So I'm going to kill my family, and then I'm going to leave, and then I'm going to disappear. And you don't know. You're not going to know if I'm alive or dead.
I don't
understand the thought process there.
Let's keep going. I just want to know everything else.
Yes.
I'm not liking this guy already.
Yeah. Ryan Borg, whatever the hell his
name is. I hope
every
time, if you're still alive and you're still free, because I've not gotten to the end of the story. So I hope if you're free and out there, I hope every time you go fishing, your fishing line breaks.
Oof. That sounds so annoying. I hope that every time you drink a can of soda, it's shaken up. Imagine that. You go to open a soda. You know how annoying that would be? Ooh. I hope that any time that there's a zipper, it gets stuck.
Damn.
The smallest inconsistencies that... The smallest things that'll bother you.
I hope the elastic band on your underwear always breaks.
That's a good one. You know how annoying that is? Ooh, that's exactly. So annoying. I hope that when you go reach in your kitchen drawer for something, it gets stuck. Oh.
But let's get into it.
I hope that anytime, if you were to think about going bowling and you have to come back from like throwing the ball and you have to come back, it's the most embarrassment walk of shame ever.
Gutter ball every time.
I hope you never hit a strike. Ryan, at this point, hadn't really drowned in the lake and disappeared like we all thought.
Huh, you know, I'm sure.
He had actually been planning his disappearance for months. Investigators now know that Ryan left the country. They knew that he had been preparing for it, but they also had still one critical question. How did he manage to vanish from the middle of the lake, granted at night, but wasn't found for weeks? We're talking 58 days. 58 days they were searching for him, right? Now, also, this is to say, I'm sure that the police had a lot of this information. They just aren't going to tell everything to the public because they're investigating. True. But the search was on for 58. That is a long time. These are people that are taking time out of their day to just come help the community.
I mean, we're literally and help talking a family. 2 months.
Yeah. So imagine that. And I mean, I remember, what was it? A couple months ago, we saw from where we were, there was a kid that went missing and everyone was like on the lookout, you know. So I can't even imagine people who are actually going to the lake, trying to help out where they can, helping the family, being there for Emily and the kids, and just making sure that everybody is, you know, just being there for one another, being a freaking community, okay? So that was pretty much their question. How did he manage to leave the middle of the lake?
How?
They were actually trying to contact him through any of the social channels that they possibly could to get him to respond back. And eventually, he provided an answer.
Get out of here.
Yep.
Was it my fishing pole story?
No, it wasn't your fishing pole story. But with all that, the detective still needed confirmation. So the investigators began reaching out to him however they could. And they were mentioning pretty much like his family. I'm sure they were doing all the police tactics, you know, like, hey, if you come, if you just come back or you talk to us, work with us, like, you know, we'll keep it lenient. We won't really, you know, their typical tactics or whatnot. But eventually they received a response from Ryan. They received a response from him. He sent, because they also were asking him, hey, we need proof of life. Like, is this even really you that's messaging us? We need proof of life. He sends a video.
Yo, how dumb are you?
He sends a video. Are you ready?
I hope this guy ended up on World Dumbest Criminals.
You can go to slide 18.
Good evening. It's Ryan Borgward. Today, hello, Matt. Today is November 11th, it's approximately 10 a.m. by you guys. I'm in my apartment. I am safe, secure, no problem. Hope this works.
I'm sorry. Why is this so works. Casual?
Yes.
Hope this works.
And then he's like, hey, Matt, it's
in my apartment.
Yeah. You know what's so funny? One of the things that, because this happened very recently, so I was watching it on like Law and Crime and all that, and Court TV. One of the things that they pointed out was that in this video, for example, in the photos that I showed you of him before, of like with his family, he looks a lot more happier with his family than he does right in this video. 1,000%. Yeah. So you would think like, okay, you got away with disappearing and you're in another country now. And you're with this woman that you want to start this whole new life with. You think you'd be like ravishing.
Also,
radiant.
I'm sorry. What person is worth giving your life away? Your kids.
Yeah.
Your wife.
Yeah.
Moving to a whole nother country, literally having to go through all of these hoops.
Right.
I'm sorry. You couldn't have found somebody here in the U.S.? To do the exact same thing with?
You also couldn't have just
divorced your wife. Divorced your wife, yes. I'm just saying, even if you didn't want to divorce her and you wanted to still do this whole process, you could have, there's so many more simple ways that you could have probably done it.
Yeah. No, seriously. Another thing that I was reading about him is that he's also part of the Christian community. So I think he probably felt a lot of shame for having to leave his wife.
That can be understandable.
But my thing too is my thing is, imagine the psychological toll this must be on his wife
for
and his
real.
Kids.
The kids, yes.
They had to mourn you that you were dead for weeks. They thought that you were dead. It was a tragic accident. They're mourning you that way. And then they come to find out that, no, actually, daddy's just a piece of crap. And he decided to fake his death and go somewhere to another country so he can be with his girlfriend.
It's wild.
You know
this
what I mean?
Is
like,
all crazy.
Both routes, you're going to bring shame. You're going to have a shame and embarrassment for sure. If you divorce your wife, I know you're part of a Christian community and that's something frowned upon. But like, really?
Come on, guy.
The latter option was not the way to go. It's just not the way to go. That's just absolutely terrible. If anything, it made you even worse. It's heard of, you know, people who just want to get a divorce and, you know, after so many years, it's just, and okay, that's fine.
It's just
But
wild.
To fake your death?
That's all wild,
And then
man.
Literally, I just can't even imagine how his family must be feeling at this point, because I would feel terrible. I would feel terrible. Imagine his kids. I can't. So he's in Georgia now. Okay. He's in Russia. In that video, he's in Georgia. After they were able to get a hold on him, the investigation is still progressing. And Ryan ends up confessing, telling them everything, exactly how he did it, what he did. They were pretty much also asking him to come back. They're like, hey, come back. You know, face.
We just need to arrest you.
Yeah, we need to arrest you. We can't really go over there. So come back, show yourself, face your, you know, face your reality, face the charges or whatnot, which we'll talk a little bit more about too, because technically what he did, it seems like it should be illegal. It seems like it should be on in the, like, yeah, it's, it should be illegal, right? You would think, but it isn't. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Well, yeah, that's another little interesting part of this case that I thought was fascinating. But the cops are working him and they're telling him, hey, listen, come back, telling him all these things. I'm sure they're working every cop strategy left and right. You know, come back. We'll probably take it easy on you. Come back and X, Y, and Z. Come back, your family, this and that, right? They're probably tugging at his heartstrings. So he ends up telling the police his whole plan.
Oh.
He literally says exactly what he did. And I'm about to tell you guys the plan. On the evening of August 11th, right, Ryan drives to Big Green Lake with more than just fishing gear in his vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Inside his minivan, let alone a minivan, was several items that investigators would only learn about now. One of those items that he carried with him in the kayak was an inflatable child-sized raft. Remember how you thought that he probably put something up? Okay. So just after 10 p.m., Ryan launches his kayak from a public landing and paddles out onto the lake exactly as he told Emily he would. From the outside, everything is looking completely normal. But once he gets to the deepest part of the water, he throws his cell phone in the lake. He inflates the small child's raft. And after that, he flips his kayak over, leaves it floating upside down in the water with his life jacket still inside. So to anyone who's going to find it is going to obviously exactly think he most likely must have fallen, drowned, unfortunate event. Using the inflatable child's raft, the children's raft, which I put some photos on there because I was like, well, let me look up what a children's raft looks like.
Oh, I've had one of these.
Yes. So that's what I'm assuming he used is one of those children's raft. Mm-hmm. But I found some ones online that it looks like you're in a car. And I thought it was so funny because I'm like, imagine this idiot literally trying to in like a car, like
the Fisher Price car.
Yeah, the Fisher Price raft car or whatever. Using the raft, he paddles back toward the shore through the reeds and muddy shoreline. And once he reaches land, you said that he took a Uber, right?
That was what I was thinking.
Your theory was that he took an Uber. Well, he took his time to wash away his muddy footprints, making sure that there was like no obvious trail leading from there. But from what I also read, he didn't do all of his trails. He just did the basic, obvious ones. Then he grabbed another piece of equipment that he had actually hidden ahead of time. Remember, this has been months in the making, that he had left on the shoreline that he paddled to. This is all a part of his plan. What is it that he left there?
A mini bike.
An e-bike. An electric bike with a spare battery and a helmet.
Wow.
He also had a change of clothes. So after he changes his clothes, he begins riding away from the lake in the middle of the night. And from there, Ryan began riding south. Over the course of the night, he traveled roughly 70 miles.
On an e-bike?
On an e-bike, eventually making his way toward the city of Madison, Wisconsin.
I need to know what brand e-bike this is, because damn, to reach 70 miles on an e-bike?
Well, remember, he brought a spare battery.
Still, even with just two batteries?
True that. And so from Madison, Wisconsin, this guy takes a bus. Homeboy takes a bus and he heads towards Detroit, Michigan, which side note
is far as hell,
right? There's a map right there that I added for you so you can see, and I'll add it in the socials. But he takes the bus to Detroit, Michigan. And from what I was reading, they figured that the reason he went to Detroit, it was a strategic choice because it sits directly across from the border of Windsor, Ontario, which is one of the busiest border crossings between the U.S. and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
There's a photo.
Wow.
There's photo of him at the border. There's photo of him drinking his water, chilling, sipping, enjoying himself as if he just did not fake his death and cause his whole family some psychological trauma here.
That's wild.
Yes. Once inside Canada, though, Ryan continues traveling east to Toronto. He ends up boarding an international flight, everybody. My guy did. It kind of sounds like the, what is those?
Catch me if you can.
No, not catch me if you can. What are those survival of the fittest tests that they do? And it's like, you've got to ride your bike here. You've got to swim there. You've got to raft here. The Iron Man. Yes. And you've got to, you know, you've got to take. Yeah. Yes. It kind of sounds like that because the homeboy took, he was on a raft. He was on an e-bike. He was on a, like a Greyhound bus. Then he's on a flight. Dude, he took all types of transportation.
Which I just want to point out, I've been to Madison, Wisconsin before.
Okay.
There's like nothing there.
Then a bus stop, apparently.
Nothing. There's another lake that is bigger than Green Lake, I believe.
Yeah.
But there's really nothing there. And then to get on a bus, you're literally going through multiple states.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but at the point where you were, in my opinion, you were closer to being able to reach Canada from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan than going down to the bottom. That's the other thing too, right?
I'm not entirely sure why. They're suspecting that the reason why he ended up going
because
to the church
busier.
It's the busiest one.
Which that makes sense.
Makes sense. Or but who knows? Maybe he did have a plan for that, but maybe it made more sense to bike, bus, plane.
I don't know.
He's like, bus stop, plane, hotel, another club, bus, plane, hotel room, another club. Literally is what he was doing.
Absolutely crazy.
So he boards an international flight from Toronto and he flies across the Atlantic all the way to Georgia where his girlfriend is from. And by the time the search on Green Lake was called off and the investigators were beginning to realize that the disappearance might have actually been staged, Ryan was already, he had been left the U.S. entirely. Been left. I mean, it took him only the first 3-4 days, literally.
To be gone.
To be gone after he was, quote unquote, missing. So by the time investigators confirmed that Ryan was alive, they concluded that Ryan had made it all the way to the country of Georgia, faking his own death to start a new life because he was unhappy with his life, abandoning his wife and 3 kids like a loser.
What a POS.
Seriously, no. Seriously, what a POS. They also learned that he upped his life insurance policy at some point before the night of August 11th, from what I was reading. I was also seeing, though, that there, it's not like he would have been able to benefit from that because he would have to collect it. So the assumption people are thinking is that he most likely did that for his family.
I was going to say, if anything, that's the one honorable thing you actually did.
Yes.
Was trying to make sure that if you were going to actually successfully go through faking your death, at least your family would have been taken care of financially.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of the Aaron Hernandez case, the football player who, I mean, the suspicion is that he committed suicide because the NFL would have to pay. And that would be another case that we'll have to cover on an episode because that's a very wow one. But he did that as well. So then the insurance would pay his family. And that is what they assume and theorize is what happened. But exactly here, he would have not been able to buy it, like get his own payout. So they assume he probably did that for his family.
Hey, you know
what?
This is odd. We just paid out this life insurance policy and now the guy that's dead is getting it.
For real. So as you can imagine, at this point, remember how he sends the video message, right? Yeah. Confirming that he's safe and he's like, hope it works.
In my apartment
that I didn't just...
Safe and sound.
And I left the state and... I mean, I left the United States involuntarily, right? That pissed off the whole Wisconsin and his community. They're like, dude, are you kidding me? We had people out here for 58 days using the top tier sonar technology,
the amount of resources and money you just cost.
Yes, because you just wanted to leave. At that point, you should have just left.
For real.
You literally could have just left and been like, listen, I'm just going to start a new life somewhere else. Instead of pretending to
He could have left
die?
A note and no, just actually said,
no, for real.
Hey, I'm not actually dead, but give me 2 days and I'm out.
So imagine how we feel just hearing about it, not affected by this directly or even subdirectly. Imagine how we feel. So I can't even imagine how him and his family and the community feels. My goodness, I can't even imagine how his family feels. That you find out that your dad and your partner decides to fake his death just to disappear and start a new life with his girlfriend. I can't even imagine that, especially when they already had to cope with the fact that they thought he died. That's terrible. That's terrible. For nearly 2 months. Nearly 2 months. Sheriff officials estimated that the search operation had cost probably tens of thousands of dollars in public resources. But even though he did this, the real question still was, like I said earlier, did he really commit a crime? What he did, was it actually illegal? Because that's
littering in a lake.
Yo, at that point, sticking with everything. No, seriously. But that was one of the main questions that I was seeing about this case, was that what he did, it feels like it should be illegal, because why would you do that to your family? But technically it isn't, okay? It's not really that straightforward. Simply leaving the country and starting a new life isn't necessarily a crime. It feels like it should be, right? Because you're a shitty person and you're, you know, you couldn't just get a divorce and own up to it like a man. But staging a disappearance like that is going to trigger a massive emergency response, which that there in tune can cross into other legal territory, like obstructing an investigation or fraud related crimes to public resources. So they had to keep working with Ryan to tell him to come back to the U.S. because they also can't charge him unless he's back. Yeah. That's the other thing, too. They can't. And I don't know exactly how this is, because I know there are certain countries that have extradition.
Yeah, there's a lot of
stuff. Yeah.
And it's very easy to find out what countries you can easily go to.
So I'm not entirely sure about this one with this case per se, but all I know is that they were having to ask him to come back.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think there's a lot of not European countries, but countries outside of Europe. And I want to say there might be one or two countries, and even in Europe, that there are strict laws where they do not work back with the U.S.
Well, I know Russia, you can't, there's no extradition rules in Russia.
There's also islands in the Caribbean if you're down. Tons.
Yeah, there's nothing they can do there. Yeah.
It's kind of like
that's why a lot of people,
FBI could even show up and say, hey, we're here to arrest you.
They ain't got no jurisdiction here.
But you have to come with us.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
And you can say, oh, that sucks. Get back on your boat. See ya.
Right. Yeah, it's so interesting, but there's so much to go along with that. But I just know that with Ryan, they had to ask him to come back.
Damn.
But he does. He eventually
does.
Tom's like, that's his sayonara. He's staying in Georgia. Oh, he's staying next to Russia. So at this point, from a lot of the research that I was doing, even like when I was like watching the Law and Crime channel on YouTube and Court TV, they assume that most likely he came back because of his conscience, and he most likely felt like, well, they already caught me, so I could either come back now and it won't be as bad. You know, they already caught me. They already know that I lied. So maybe I should just come back and face the truth. I really don't fucking know. I don't know. He could have also had some type of legal representation over there that he spoke to, and they were like, listen, your best bet is to come back. Who knows? I don't know. All I know is that he eventually returns to the U.S. and he faces his criminal charges connected to the investigation.
I can't. You're like,
you're like, all right, well, that's it. Ryan lives in Georgia now. He's in Russia.
You did all this. All you have to do is basically check, hey, what countries follow the same laws that I can't be extradited back to the U.S.? Cool. Those are the only countries I can go visit. Simple as that.
It seems like he planned everything else but that part. You know what I mean?
He had
a fucking manifesto.
The obvious, the best choice you had was, guess I gotta go back. Guess I gotta let them charge me with all this and put me in prison.
Yeah. No, you know what's funny to me? I was like, now I'll be an honorable man. I should show up and face the truth of the crime that I've committed.
Oh my God. Yeah.
One of the things that I did see that honestly made my heart so happy was that when he did come back, Emily filed for divorce in full custody of the kids immediately, which I was like, As she should, because screw you, man. Screw you.
All right. So he gets back And obviously, they're going to have to charge him then.
Yeah, so they end up charging him with a misdemeanor obstruction of an officer for intentionally misleading law enforcement and staging the scene, okay? And in August of 2025, literally this happened last year, I know, so recent, he did appear in court in Green Lake County and entered a no contest plea to that charge. He also looked so fucking mopey. Saying how one of the things that I saw in the court video that I saw, he was like, well, you know, I couldn't afford a lawyer, so I guess I'll just have to be my own lawyer, which is like, dude, what are you talking about? You get your own appointed lawyer here.
Idiot, my God.
I know, I can't.
You
it
were
was too
free.
Much. I can't.
You had everything you were asking for.
Right. This is
and
what
then
you
came back?
I don't know. You know what's that's the other thing that I kept seeing too was everybody's thought process on that was if you really wanted to disappear, why would you go and then tell the police your exact plan? It just didn't make any sense, right? Like if you really were trying to disappear, why would you help the authorities? But a lot of people speculate that it's most likely because he felt, well, you know, they've caught me. It's already bad. Let me not make it any worse. The fact that you're resting your forehead on the microphone. I know. But he looks super mopey, okay?
Dumb ways to go to jail.
No, seriously. So many dumb ways to go to jail. Dumb ways to go to jail. And his name's Ryan Bogart. The judge sentences him to 89 days in jail.
That's it?
Yes, but the court also ordered him to pay $30,000 in restitution to help cover the cost of the massive search operation at Green Lake. Yeah.
Please tell me he flies back to Georgia and just fucking moves on with his life. We
well,
don't need him here.
From what I was reading, he did serve his 89-day sentence, and it began in the late of September of 2025. And according to jail records, he was released from custody on December 2nd of 2025. So that was like 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after completing, he did complete the full 89-day sentence. But the most recent updates that we have of him is that he's no longer behind bars. I don't really know much about anything else. I can only imagine his family's trying to stay on the low because of this whole ordeal. But, I mean, imagine the damage that he already left. By his disappearance.
Yo, if I was one of your kids, I'm never talking to you again.
No, for real. I would definitely be like, no, I don't have a dad. I know everybody's like, no, everybody's got a mom and a dad. Not me. That's how I feel about my own father.
I was just
going to
say, I mean,
I don't have a dad.
You're already kind of like that.
Yeah, exactly. So imagine that. But I would, it would be 10 times fold if my dad faked his death to disappear. Oh my God, I'd make a whole podcast about him. And I'd be like, let's talk shit about my dad. His name is... No. I know. I know.
So what'd you think of today's podcast?
Yeah, that's today's episode. Ain't that crazy? All that. All you have to do is just get a divorce. Please, if anybody's thinking about faking their death, just get a divorce. Just go.
If you're going to fake your death,
just go.
At least know how to look into doing all this.
If you're going to fake your death, like make
sure
you fake it.
And maybe leave a note or leave some type of, guys, we live in a world of technology.
Right.
You could easily
make
sure you have a plan. Hey, it'll take me 3 days to be able to get out of the country to get to the place that I cannot be extradited back to the U.S. from. What I need to do is have this or this scheduled to send or release to everyone that I know to make sure there's an announcement that I'm not dead. I faked it.
Right.
I am actually
because then you wouldn't be wasting everybody else's time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the resources.
End up like Ryan. Where you've now wasted so many people's resources and you've put people through more than just a couple days of thinking that
terrible.
You were dead.
You made your family
don't
feel
get wrong,
terrible.
Even just a couple days of thinking you're dead is rough. But thinking you were dead for 60 days, that's enough time for somebody to damn near process.
Right.
Hey.
To kind of actually sit with it and be like, dude, he's gone.
Right.
My dad's gone.
I mean, we just got to keep on moving with our life.
That's a good point.
It's been almost 2 months. We're gonna persevere.
That's a good point.
Versus at least if you had sent something, you would have known. It seems you had everything planned. Hey, in 2.5-3 days, I will be in a whole nother country. I will never be able to be brought back. let me make sure something's
That's
released.
That's what I mean. At least own it, dude.
Yeah.
At least own it. Like, if you're going to do that, at least be a man.
You could
have
even put a letter in the mail. Most letters don't get sent out or
for
received
real.
Within 3 days, even for local.
At least, I agree.
It's just, there's so much, in my opinion, that this guy could have done.
If he really
that would have
wanted
really
to disappear,
taken the
yeah.
burden off, not just his family, but the city.
And yeah, the city, yeah.
It's
terrible,
just,
terrible. I know. And in the end, it's like, I mean, I don't know.
What was this for?
Yeah,
you
what
came
was
back?
This all for? You ended up coming back. I know. Which, that's the crazy part. I was like, when I saw that he came back, I'm like, sir.
I won't lie. I did not think he'd actually come back.
Yeah,
but
you
I
thought that he was
going to
stay.
I also didn't think he would have ever... freaking gave him a phone call. Well, basically a video.
A video. I know.
Hey, Matt. It's all good here.
It's the morning.
Wait,
I'm in my
Sorry,
apartment.
Sorry, that was really excited. Hey, Matt. I'm all good. I'm in my apartment.
Wow.
As you can see.
You played him off very well.
Nice. I'm safe and sound.
You played him off very well.
Anyways, hope this works.
We should have a list, like a board of dummies.
Mm-hmm.
Literally of dummies on the board. Like, he would definitely be on there. It would also have to be Roof Man.
Whoa.
Hey, Con Man.
He's a con man, but in my opinion, one of the smartest.
Well, that's a good point, actually.
And
yeah, I wouldn't
creative
be Roof Man.
Con man's ever.
I'll be Roof Man. Yeah.
To be honest, if you think about it, did he give trauma? 100%.
Definitely.
Not going to take that away.
Definitely.
There's definitely people out there that
yeah.
have PTSD from that.
I mean, I would definitely
that.
Have PTSD from that.
But
yeah.
at the same time, I'll be honest. If somebody were to come and rob me, but then say, oh, well, you don't have a jacket?
I know. He was
I
like,
would instantly
he was
be
like,
like
the most kindest.
I think I'd go from.
Kindest robber.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm not in danger. This guy definitely doesn't want to hurt me.
I know.
He actually wants me to be taken care of. He's got his own plan.
All right. We won't put him. We won't put him in there, but we'll definitely put Ryan Borgwardt.
I do still
agree.
On
the dummy list.
He was a dumb criminal because the roof man had an easy escape plan.
Also, he was so smart. He could have, if he had put all that energy and time and intelligence into something else, he could have had an even better
imagine
life.
Imagine if he had gone into the FBI or the CIA.
That's what I mean. He would have made a killing.
Yes.
I mean, I get it, but I mean, criminals will be criminals. What can we say?
Neither Ryan, you would have never freaking made it in the FBI, CIA because you would have been a spy and told
dummy
the country that you were being a spy against. Hey, yeah, I'm a spy for the United States.
And he would have probably told them the whole plan.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm a spy for the United States.
Oh, yeah, you got to keep the super monotone. Super monotone, I can't.
Yeah.
Well, that was today's episode, friends. We hope you enjoyed it. Isn't that crazy?
I can't.
Thank you for joining us today on Macabre Mondays. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know more about today's episode or caught a detail we might have missed, let us know.
And if you have a story that's strange, sinister, or downright spooky, please send it our way. You can email us at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com or head over to macabremondays.com and submit your story. Yours just might be featured in an upcoming listener episode. We mean it.
We really do mean it. Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episode, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode. Stay tuned. More mystery is just around the corner. But until then, stay curious and stay safe, friends. Bye.
Deuces.